Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession. Session.
A woman faked her own death and kidnapping when she found out her new boo was poor. That's so Raven, Corey, or Kyle Massey is being sued for $1.5 million. And celebrities are involved with the college scandal that has left many people shocked. What's good, y'all? This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, Jenna Bello, and you're listening to the one and the only Confession Session.
That lasted quite a while, man. That lasted quite a while. Go ahead. Go ahead. How you doing today? Your A was popping.
Nigga, I was trying to realize, like, enunciate and, you know, speak from my diaphragm so my voice don't crack. Because I noticed my voice always cracking on here like I'm 12 years old. So I'm like, let me just position myself to do some shit right for once. So I don't sound like a little
He's
ass
so
kid on here. But I'm doing good, you know, just over here at home drinking a couple brews, you know, ready to get into
okay.
this shit with all these crazy people. In the world.
Oh, my God.
My weekend
yes.
is pretty chill, you know, just enjoying life. And, you know, I've been going to therapy, and I think it's really
yeah.
working. Like, I really do think that I'm, like, starting to be, like, a lot more optimistic than I was about a lot of different
okay.
things. Like, when it comes to, like, work and just everything. And I got, like, a lot of color stuff I don't want to talk about. But it's a lot of personal things that are, like really looking up that we've talked about, you know. So, baby, I'm happy about that, too, you know. And I'm just seeing it clearly now, you know. It's sunny outside, you know.
Yes, motherfucker, the rain is gone. The rain is
now.
Gone.
Right. So, yeah, it's just I'm in a good space right now. I'm in a good space. How
That's
you doing,
wonderful.
Angel?
That's wonderful. I'm doing pretty good. I have not had my kids since Friday, which is crazy. So my mom, she's had my kids all weekend, and she won't, and I won't get them back until Monday, okay? Because my oldest, he's out of school, so she's just. So I was like, Mom, well, you know, let us pick the twins up, and we'll come back and drop them off Friday night since you guys want to have them this weekend too, because you wanted to show them off for St. Patrick's Day. She got them like little. St. Patrick's Day shirts and little mask and little head thingies and just been ugly. And so pretty much she was just like, no, that makes no sense for you guys to come pick the kids up just to drop them back off in a few hours, blah, blah, blah. You know my mom crazy. So yeah, she said my kids and my oldest son, he does not have school Monday. So we're picking the kids up tomorrow after work. I've been talking to her every day. I'm like, you guys ready to get the kids back up yet? You know, they're like, oh, no, the kids are good. You know, they fine. So I think, honestly, like, my kids keep my mom sane. I really do because I feel like when the kids aren't around, she just don't have nothing to do. And she's like a nurturing type of person. And so she always wants my kids around because those are her only grandkids, you know. So I really appreciate, like, how much she – because this, I feel like, is a huge weight off my shoulders, you know, especially because, you know, me and my husband are both in school. You know, I just started back going to school. So I just feel like it helps out a lot with her, you know, watching the kids and everything like that. So that's one thing. My weekend was really good. Another thing is I had opportunity to talk to a real close friend of mine about something personal, and I was really excited that we were able to come to an understanding about certain things, and it just made me really think of and take life on a different turn. So it just made me look at everything, my relationship, and everything in that sense differently, and I'm just really, really happy that I'm on a positive page with one of my real good friends. So that really, really brought my weekend up a lot. Other than that, though, I can't say that I've had a bad weekend or anything like that. I really do feel like my weekend was hilarious in a sense. I'm going to tell you about that, and then also really positive. So one thing before we get into the show, y'all, why my weekend was hilarious. So it was this old man, okay? And I haven't told you this story, but it was so funny. So me and my little sister, we're in the car, And it's this old man, and he's, like, taking the longest time turning. We're like a stop sign, and he's supposed to be coming. We're going the opposite way from him, so we're at a stop sign, and he coming from, you know, around the corner just to, I don't know, turn a whole, like, other way, not even by us. And the way he was turning, he acted like my car was in a way. And I'm looking like, why is he turning so slow? But before I can say, why is he turning so slow, I was like, why is he turning? And my little sister, she was like, turn that motherfucker, old timer. Like that. And it was just so funny, dude. And I was just dying. Like, and I cannot stop laughing at that damn city because she just was so random. She just started screaming, turn that motherfucker. Like, and so I was just like, she is crazy. So that really just made my weekend too. Like, everything was just real good. But she is so goofy. And so that pretty much was my weekend. I had a really, really positive, uplifting, great weekend. And I'm just hoping that it stays this way for a while. Other than that, you guys, before we get into those hot topics, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast on Blog Talk. Send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in that drama and let us know what you'd like to hear. Jim, why don't you go ahead and hit them with that confession question after the sparkle.
Confession question. Is going to strip club cheating? Again, is going to strip club cheating? And let's get into those confessionals. Ms. Angel Vondrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys. So, former Disney star Kyle Mace is being sued. Kyle Massey. Shut up. Don't do it, Jun. Don't do it. All right? Okay. Kyle Massey is being sued for $1.5 million for allegedly attempting to commit a lewd act with a minor. The suit was filed anonymously and thus refers to the accuser as Jane Doe, who is allegedly a minor and kept her name out of it due to the highly sensitive and personal nature of the subject matter. Her mother, Anne Doe, filed on her behalf, according to the court documents obtained by E! News. Jane and Anne Doe allege that their relationship with Massey dates back to when Jane was 4 years old, when they allegedly met at University City. According to the lawsuit, the 27-year-old actor allegedly maintained contact with Anne and her family and became a father figure to Jane. The daughter allegedly wanted to pursue a career in entertainment, so Massey, according to the lawsuit, will offer to use his success and influence in the entertainment industry to help her out. Jane Doe allegedly reached out to Massey when she was 13 and supposedly texted him and said that she would love, in all caps, to audition for his show Corey in the House. The suit alleged that Massey offered to fly Jane out and have her live with him. Massey allegedly called Jane so sweet and so beautiful in a text to Anne, "I'll take care of her," he allegedly wrote. According to the lawsuit, things escalated when Massey allegedly began to send Jane Doe numerous sexual explicit text messages and images and videos. These alleged videos and text messages included Massey's girlfriend, as well as Snapchat images of Massey holding his penis, as well as other alleged lewd texts. Jane was 13 at the time, and Massey was 27. Jane and Anne lawsuit calls Massey's actions repugnant and says that Jane suffered great pain of mind, body, shock, emotional distress, and more. Angel Massey, his mom and manager, told E! News in an email that Kyle is the victim here. She added Kyle was also a victim. Kyle was also a minor, and now as an adult with an attempted extortion. Now, according to Angel, like I said, with his mom, Anne Doe requested a mediation and a confidential settlement of $1.5 million to keep this matter from going public. Angel says she respectfully declined the offer because Kyle had not done anything wrong. She added the lawsuit will reveal more information that's favorable to Kyle as everything unfolds. E! News, they reached out to Massey's legal team for a comment, and no comment has come of this as of yet. Jen, what are your thoughts? And like, because first of all, what I personally think is if you 27 sending dick pics to 13-year-olds, I mean, goodbye. But I really want to know what happened here, and I really also want your opinion on what the hell do you think was going on with Corey Punk ass and his little ass girl.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, what they were saying as far as I was listening to him, which is like a Milwaukee podcast, and they were talking about the whole thing with they were saying similar things, similar sentiments, what you were saying about Michael Jackson and everything that was going on. And, like, what they were saying is, like, whether there's smoke, there's fire. So it's just like if people are saying this and if they are doing as much to sue, it might have been something going on. I hope that Kyle Massey, who I just looked up, is our age. The motherfucker was born in 1991. I'm just like, really? Don't want nothing to do with no 13-year-old, but you can't put past anything
right
on anybody. If he really did try to violate that girl, he needs to pay. I'm sorry. You know, I enjoyed you on that for Raymond, but I mean, I don't give a fuck about that. You know, you're trying to take somebody's childhood, and you know, but your own personal sexual grievances, you're ready to fuck up somebody's life behind. And then it's just crazy to think how often players and these people who have had some industry success throw that shit around and take advantage of people and just be like, I'm going to make you a star, I'm going to do this, just to have sex with somebody. It's just like, really?
I feel like a lot of that has to do with the parents, too. I'm just glad that nothing did come about of that. But, like, there's no way. I don't give a damn what the situation is. Because of my past and what I've been through, there's just no way that I'm going to sit up there if my oldest son, you know, Jill Bonnie, he says, oh, Mom, I want to go here with this person and this. I'm not going to be like, well, ooh, that's a good money-making opportunity. I'm going to be right there like, okay, let's go together. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to send my child off to some random-ass person. You know, like, no.
Angel, I think it's just the time now, because we're hearing about it so much. But
you're right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't think that somebody's going to violate, like, this star is going to violate your child. And then you might want them to get put on. And then, you know what I'm saying, like, Usher mom was saying, like, she had sent him to New York with Diddy. And she was, like, looking back on it. He's never talked about it. But she was like, she shouldn't have, because he was exposed to a lot of things, like, you know what I'm saying? And he was having sex, and he was a kid. Not saying he was having sex with Diddy, but, you know, Diddy was this playboy, you know what I'm saying? He probably had women around, probably thought it was cute, like, you know what I'm saying? Go in the room, let her suck your dick, let her suck your little dick, you know, type of shit like that, you know what I'm saying? And no kids don't need to be exposed to no shit like that, you know? And you thinking that because this person is who they are and, you know, they are in a situation that could benefit your family, you don't look at how this could turn into a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like back then they just weren't looking at it like, some parents don't give a fuck and they were bad people and it was all about the coins. But it's just like a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people are just starstruck, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, why even work with my child? You know what I'm saying? You got this whole team around you. There's women in your life. They got my son. My son's going to be fine if he moved, you know, to wherever for 3 months. He'll be fine. And then you realize, like,
oh, Lord.
Stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so fucking stupid. But nowadays, yeah, hell yeah. No, I would be a fucking dadger from hell if my child was in entertainment. No, how much? First of all, you're not paying enough to even sit and have a meeting with my child. Second off, what are y'all going through? I'm going too. I'm about to be sitting there quiet. I'm not gonna be annoying, but like, you're not gonna just do whatever and have my child wherever. I'll be annoying as fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause you gotta be that way. Cause these people are sinister. Like, they really are bad people.
Yeah.
And they disguise it fame and with their money. And, you know, a lot of times people who don't come from that same outlook don't see the danger that they are putting their child in. So I feel like blaming the parent, yeah, the parent has some fault, but at the end of the day, this was a predator. You know what I'm saying?
This is true.
It's like the same shit where, like you said, we both are victims of, you know what I'm saying, molestation, rape, you know, whatever, childhood. Our parents didn't know that this person was there. You think our parents would have had us in the room with this motherfucker if they knew what the fuck they was on? No. So do we blame our parents?
No. And I do understand that, Jen. But I feel like with our situation is just a little different. You know, we were entrusted, you know, in a trusted environment. You don't just sit up there and tell, you know, oh, he became a father figure to my child and he was around. Like, that's how, I don't know, to me, there are some people who really are nice like that, but I feel like there is just some people who are strange. Like, you know, why are you hanging around my young-ass kids? Why are you calling and speak with my child? Why do you want to come and take, why do you, your grown-ass, want my 13-year-old daughter with you? Like, that makes no sense. What the fuck
are you saying, Angel? But like you said, because of the outlook that you've had, but somebody who have not been sexually abused as a child, have not ever, maybe looking at it like, okay, they may see the star power in my child, you know what I'm saying, and my child may can do this, and you know what I'm saying, it is better for them to go and stay with them for 3 months, and they whip their ass in the shape, they have them running a mile every morning at 6 a.m. because I'm not going to do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what these people are thinking. They could be on that bullshit and don't care and just trying to get paid, but they might be starstruck too. You know what I'm saying? I think the blame should be a little bit should be blamed on the parents, but mostly it should be, we should be looking at the people that are doing what is wrong to these children. But that is it.
All right, you guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic.
All right, y'all. Next topic. Bribery, cheating on entrance exams, and faking athletic achievements are some of the methods wealthy parents use to get their children into some of the nation's top colleges in a shocking scandal revealed earlier this week. But Daniel Golden, author of the 2006 book, The Price of Admission, because ruling class buys its way into elite colleges, and who gets left outside the gates, argues that the playing field hasn't been even for years. He also doesn't believe the scandal, which swept up Hollywood stars and Silicon Valley CEOs, would fundamentally change anything about the college admissions process. Colleges are too fearful to offend the wealthy people who donate money, Golden told CBS This Morning Saturday. Golden does anticipate some small changes, like increased scrutiny of athletic recruits and students recommended by independent counselors. But ultimately, he feels like those are minor tweaks to a system that is massively weighted in favor of those who have means. William Singer, the CEO of the college prep, at the center of the scandal, pleaded guilty Tuesday to running the biggest college admissions scam federal prosecutors have ever seen. Golden said it's the rise of independent counselors like Singer who concern him most. When I wrote my book, Industry, Golden said, they get around the traditional guidance counselor at the high school whose job is to find the best fit for each student, and instead they're only beholden to the wealthy parents. Some of them are very nice and responsible people, but the incentives are wrongly arranged, and that's ripe for abuse, as in this case. The universities that have been wrapped up in the scandal, which include the University of Southern California, Harvard, and Yale, have said they're victims too. Golden sees it a little differently. I don't see them as victims. I mean, they may have been deceived in this case, but overall, they developed and they perpetuate a system that tilted toward the wealthy and made this kind of corruption possible, he said. It's kind of a slap in the face to these kids who are trying to get in on their own, legitimately, on hard work and achievement, he said. And it's also a reminder of the point in my book that so many students benefit from preferences for the wealthy. What I call preferences of privilege, like legacy preference for children of alumni, development preference recommended by the fundraiser office, and so on. So what do you think about this whole scandal, Ms. Angel Von Juniper?
I thought that was crazy. I was shocked. I could not believe that some of the biggest celebrities out there was out there, you know, paying for their kids to get into school. And then I forget the one woman, I forget her name, but her daughter wasn't even interested in going to college like that. She was interested in her makeup, you know, Sephora, and she lost that contract. And I was just like, this is just ridiculous. Like, these parents don't even know what they've done to their children by, you know, putting them into these colleges and paying all this money and paying people off and everything like that. They've ultimately ruined their kids' lives in a sense. You know, yeah, they may have, you know, went to these schools and stuff like that, but now what are they going to do? People are going to look at their applications now and be like, oh, no, you were part of that scheme, you know, or job applications or, you know, trying to further their career. Celebrities have lost their jobs. People are not going to hire them as much. They, you know, really fucked up. Like, this is horrible. This is about, and then you're paying people to take the test, the ACT test, and, like, this shit is crazy. Like, lying about who is actually in a chair, you know, it was real disappointing. And I would say I'm shocked because I don't know why people, they would need to do anything like that. But, I just don't understand why that was necessary. And then I also feel real bad for, like you said, the kids who really are sitting there working hard, trying to, you know, come out of this poverty home, working hard, getting 4.0s on everything, and then getting declined because these other people are paying their way for their kids and bribing people for their kids to get into school. It was absolutely a mess, and they all need to pay for that with jail time, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts, Sean?
I was not surprised at all. Like, I definitely maybe not have known it was, okay, here is bribe, like, actual bribe money, like how they said Lori Loughlin paid $500,000 and the lady from the profile paid $15,000. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it was a certain amount, but I definitely always knew that, you know what I'm saying, when you are in an environment to where you have access and connections to people that can make certain opportunities for you happen, I definitely can see a wealthy person taking advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is something that they have been doing for years quietly. But I thought it was just more so like, so my daughter is applying to USC next year. Over, you know, a cocktail or they meet at some gala, you know what I'm saying, and she's talking to the director of whatever, you know, public relations department, and she's just like, my daughter's applying to the grad school at USC next year. Her name is so-and-so. Make sure you look into it type shit. Like, that's what I thought it was. And then the director would go in and be like, okay, so this is so-and-so. Make sure we, you know, put a strong, make it more favorable for her to get in compared to other students. Maybe not like automatically they get in, but it's just like they're at the top of the list. So if everything's come through, like their grades are decent and everything else, they're going to get in. And of course, like the whole thing where they said, like, legacy students, if you know, you come from, if your parents went to the same university and if you are a wealthy family, then yeah, automatically
right. They're
going to get
right.
in. But, I feel like this is just a glimpse into what, you know, these people do, these wealthy white folks do. Like, you know, to be honest, they control so much of the world. And that's why I feel like reparations for us is so important, because we just want an equal playing field. You know what I'm saying? Not to get off topic, but I hear so often how people don't want reparations for black people, but I think it's ultimately because they are afraid of them losing the privileges that they have as being wealthy white people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were to give every black person in America, every African-American who descendants are from here. Now, we're not even talking about the rest of the diaspora that was involved in the slave trade. I'm saying, like, people, even though it was sad everywhere, and it was, you know, tragic everywhere. But I'm saying, like, people who were direct descendants, you know, the slave trade. Like, if I was to look at my ancestral DNA where it shows, you know, how I migrated from South Carolina and, you know, people that our families are from Mississippi and Alabama and all that shit, if they were to get $1 million, just a check, or if they were to get free education for the rest of their life, or if they didn't have to pay taxes until they reach whatever it was that they owe us, the $5.6 trillion is what they're saying, do you know how much change it would be? And you know how much that would shock the shit out of our economy? They not ready.
Yeah,
for that.
Shit. America would definitely be great again.
And you see, they're not making it a big deal as big of a deal as it should be. The same shit with the, you know, I didn't want to talk about it. And that's why, because I don't want to sit and talk about tragic incidences every week. But, you know, the whole massacre in New Zealand. But you see how it was a white supremacist, white nationalist, you know, and they not even talk about that shit that much. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should be fearing them. But they want to put it on everybody else. And that's why I was telling my white friends. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that I have white friends in my life that I can be honest with and are allies and they do understand their privileges. And you can sit and have an open discussion without them taking offense. But I was just like, I was joking, every 20 years y'all pick a different group to attack. But y'all are the real people that we should be afraid of. Like, really. Like y'all, like they are calculated, like they are, and they be doing shit on the fly. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just like thinking about everything that, you know what I'm saying? Just in this week, and it's funny because I always talk about different podcasts, but Charlamagne was saying on the Brilliant Idiots, he was just like, you know, black people was cutting up Black History Month, so you know, white people got some shit up under their sleeve, and it was just like just. What 2 weeks later, this whole college scandal.
Yeah.
And then this massacre. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, and I feel like it's not getting the same press coverage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they are leaving Jussie Smollett alone. But if this shit didn't happen, they would still be trying to attack Jussie Smollett and trying to make this a big, huge issue. You know what I'm saying? Even though what he did was fucked up, but you people are paying millions and taking opportunities for people that actually deserve it, and you people are attacking core groups for shit that they can't change their color, and y'all want to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I digress, y'all.
All right, you guys. Honestly, it's crazy. It's crazy, and you may Okay, y'all, so this is crazy. According to Hollywood Unlocked, a woman from China faked her own kidnapping and murder after finding out her boyfriend was poor. She used the tactic so she did not have to end the relationship. According to Odyssey Central, the 37-year-old woman from China, Hubei province, was arrested for fabricating her own kidnapping and murder at the hands of her ex-husband in order to avoid breaking up with her recent boyfriend. Identified by her surname, Yu, was dating her boyfriend, Lin, for a while and learned he lived a poor lifestyle. When she visited his home during the Chinese New Year, Yu created a plan to fake her kidnapping and death because she feared her boyfriend would not handle ending the relationship. Yu decided to act out her plan after visiting Lin's hometown on February 21st and removed herself from their apartment. Moments after she caught her boyfriend, she said she was kidnapped by her ex-husband. She sent text messages pretending to be her ex-husband, stating that she would be killed if he called the police. After sending more threatening messages, Yu told Lin she was killed and her body was thrown into a lake. From there, Lin contacted the police, the local police, and told them she was unable to cooperate with his girlfriend's kidnapper. Police investigated Yu's apparent kidnapping and death. By checking surveillance footage, they discovered that Yu had been staying in a motel 3 days after she staged the kidnapping. They found her in a hotel room watching TV. Yu explained to the police that she wanted to end her relationship after discovering that he was poor and realized she couldn't break up with him because she believed he would become too clingy. Initially, Yu wanted to pack her things and leave the apartment, but realized Lin had the master key. She was arrested and stayed in police custody for 10 days on social disruption charges. Jen, is it ever that serious to fake your own death and murder?
Hell to the no. And that's what I hate about motherfuckers. Like, motherfuckers don't be real in life and in relationships. If you don't want to be with me, break up with me. Why are you going out of your way to do all this shit? I'm worried about you thinking you dead somewhere and you just don't want to be with my black ass. Like, no. Like, she did the most.
I agree.
What? All she had to do was, like, break up with him. Like, she went through all that. Like, yeah. Did she not think that she was going to ever, like, was she down to change her name and move to a whole other state and start over because she didn't want to break this man's heart because of whatever issues that she had with him? Like, girl, what the hell is wrong with you? It's never that deep to be faking your death for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's a motherfucker after your ass, you know they about their life for real. You know what I'm saying? Then, yeah, I may pop up dead somewhere and move to Cuba. But other than that, fuck that shit. No, she wanted to break up with her boyfriend because he was too poor, so she decided to pretend like she was killing herself. She got to be on drugs. That's what I was thinking, too. You know what I'm saying? That's what, honestly, that's what I was like, this bitch sound high. Like, she had to be. Like, when she came up with that whole scheme, she was high as fuck. Like, she was straight writing that shit down, like, on Adderall, man. So she was, like, alert and sweet as fuck, like, at the same time. Like, hell no. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. Like you said, I feel like only time that it's a situation like that when somebody, because I have heard about a woman. She did fake her own kidnapping. And it was to get away from her husband who used to beat the shit out of her. And she was scared, and she just tried to find a way to just get out of that situation after being with him for so many years. You know, running away, doing all of that. Nothing worked. He always found her, brought her back, beat her ass. You know, tried to kill her a few times. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a different story. You know, but this dumb shit. And then I think they wasn't even together for that long. I think they were together for like a few months. And then this all came about. So it's just like, you know, I feel like and don't get me wrong, because you can be with somebody for 3 months and be like, okay, this is the most serious relationship ever. I love you. Like, this shit is getting real. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that they have been together on that 3 to 6 month mark. But, you know, and she finally went to his house for the first time. She's like, ooh, he kind of poor. I don't like this. You know, but at that point, I feel like, you know, even if she did not like it, she definitely should have said something, because even if he did become too clingy, because it's just like, if there's something that you're not feeling about a person, it's just like, you know, let them know right away. Just especially like in relationships, because it's just like, really, like, you did all of this and now your ass had to go to jail for 10 days. Now you have a fucking record because you wanted to pretend like you was dead and kidnapped from your ex. And then she could have got her ex in trouble too. You know what I'm saying? Because of all of this. So it's just stupid. And she should have went to jail, because all she had to do was just speak up. You know, so that's dumb. But that's all I have to say about that. Anything else you want to say?
We can move on to that last topic.
All right, y'all.
All right, y'all. Last topic. It's recording to the Shade Room. Like, Jess's kids were not here for any parts of the Leaving Neverland series, so much that they're reportedly thinking about suing the accusers involved, Wade Robson and James Safechuck. After the airing of the explosive docuseries, many who have been longtime fans of Michael have showed their support on social media, while others have denounced the late King of Pop. According to Page Six, the suit will reportedly include fraud, emotional distress, slander, and misrepresentation. Interestingly enough, Michael's kids aren't seeking any sort of monetary compensation. Should they receive any, they reportedly plan to give it to charity. Instead, they like for both Wade Robson and James St. Chuck to issue an apology. A source close to the situation said, it's very important to them they carry forward their father's legacy of philanthropy and humility. Paris Jackson has been very open about her feelings about the Leaving Neverland Day, and the documentary lacks credibility and is employed to ruin her father's legacy. Though Jackson's two other sons have kept more of a lower profile in the wake of the debut, if you haven't been tuning in, Leaving Neverland chronicles the alleged abuse both Wade Robson and James St. Chuck claimed they experienced at the hands of Michael Jackson over a number of years. Shortly after the airing, Oprah hosted a panel to give both Wade and James a platform to discuss their abuse, creating a cancel Oprah culture on Instagram. Oprah, Wade, and James haven't been the only people who have addressed the documentary. It was reported that Drake recently took his song Don't Matter to Me off of his set list for his European tour, while radio stations in New Zealand have vowed to keep Michael off the airwaves.
I really do believe him. I watched it, and I believe the victims, the boys. I really, really, really believe them. I think I told you, we talked about the Michael Jackson story maybe a week or two ago, and I just sat there watching it crying like a little ass baby because I was just so upset. I feel like when you tell a story and you looking up and you remembering, like, you can always tell when somebody, they telling a story and they lying about what they talking about. And then when they telling the truth about what they talking about, especially being a victim in yourself. And I really do feel like these kids or these grown-ups, they were being honest. I don't feel like they're trying to, mess up his legacy. I feel like ultimately Michael Jackson fucked up his own legacy when he decided to, you know what I'm saying, do whatever he did to these kids. I definitely see, I personally seen the proof that they were talking about. I seen in just the video, the facts that Michael Jackson sent to the little boys. I seen the videos that he was sending to the kids back and forth, the photos, the pictures of him and the families being together, him and a little boy being together. I mean, goddamn, how much more is there to be seen in order for you to realize that dude really was a whole entire pedophile? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just as clear to me as it was, you know what I'm saying? It clear to me as it is with what's going on with Robert Kelly. You know what I'm saying? I feel like all of that shit is 100% clear. We know what happened. And at this point, his kids are in probably a state of denial because their dad probably never did anything to them. And that's their dad. You know what I'm saying? Nobody ever wants to believe that their fucking dad is a fucking pedophile who loves little boys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understand why they're upset about it and why they're like, okay, we finna sue because this shit is crazy and now we're probably losing royalties based off of, you know, these people taking these tracks off, this person not performing. But Michael Jackson should have thought about all of this shit and his kids before he decided to try and molest little boys. You know, and it's fucked up because now his kids, now that he's dead, his kids is now reaping, you know what I'm saying, these issues based off of the shit that he's done in the past. So ultimately, I do hear what they're saying about it, but this shit is fucked up, and Michael Jackson did do that to them kids. You know what I'm saying? And the victim should not be punished for being honest and coming out. I really do wish that they were honest and they came out before Michael Jackson died, you know, so that the world can, so that Michael Jackson, he could really feel the issues that went on or the pain that he caused these kids. But, you know, we all know whatever you do in the dark is going to come out in the light, and it's coming out now, you know. And sometimes people, they say, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have said this or whatever that, but I feel like late is better than never. And the fact that these kids or these grown-ups, they told their story about what happened at this with this man, you know, it was good that it came out now, you know what I'm saying? I do feel bad because it is going to affect his kids in the long run, you know, and how they feel about their dad. And Michael Jackson's not going to be that person that people, they faint and fall out to and all of that stuff when they hear his name. His name is Sully. And when people, they think about it, they're going to link Michael Jackson to a fucking pedophile who loves licking little boys' asses. Because when I think about him, that's what I think about. watching that movie. You know what I'm saying? So, honestly, it is what it is, and they just need to, the kids just need to move on and don't think about it if they can and try to just live their life because their dad was a horrible person, period. What's your thoughts?
So, I have a couple questions.
Okay.
So, what do you think about the whole narrative of people saying how with the kids, they defended Michael Jackson when he was on trial for molesting another little boy, and that also that they received a settlement before this documentary. So anything that they say, you know what I'm saying, because they clearly move for money, you can't really believe. What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
So you saying that the people who were inside this documentary right here see money for not speaking about what happened back in the day?
They settled out of court. So they got some money beforehand, and then it was another lawsuit, and they defended Michael Jackson and said that Michael Jackson never touched them.
My thoughts on that is that, first of all, Michael Jackson would be giving nobody money, period, if nothing was wrong. First of all. Second of all, they may have said that. I've seen that they said that. You know, I remember when all of this shit went down, I was a kid, how my mom and they was watching TV and watching the news and all this, and how on all them damn counts, Michael Jackson was found not guilty. And I do feel like people, they may have, just like the college scandal, paid people to, you know what I'm saying, to just be in a position where they said, no, you know, say you're not guilty, you'll be good say he did not do anything, y'all be good for the rest of your life. I feel like these boys were coached. And not only that, but they were scared. You know what I'm saying? Like, what victim at 7, 8, 9 years old wants to come up to their parents and tell them this is the type of shit that happened when you feel like this is something that's supposed to happen, when you're in love? You know what I'm saying? People don't know what the fuck love is. You don't know if you're in love when you're fucking 10 years old, but you think that this situation is right. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like maybe that they were coached or cursed into saying something, and then ultimately, you know, they defended Michael Jackson because probably they loved him. They really loved him with their whole heart. So, you know, but I really feel like Michael Jackson, then they wouldn't have paid these kids off if it was nothing. They would have been like, oh, fuck this. You know, y'all, this shit ain't happening. We finna sue y'all. We finna counter sue you motherfuckers because this shit is crazy, you know.
What's your next question? Do you think, and this is my last question on this, do you think that them being white boys has anything to do with it too?
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the fact that they're white boys has a lot to do with the fact that the media is that this is so exposed like it is, that this information has gone out and that we all know about it. Yes, I do feel in that sense because I heard my mom and me, we were talking about this, and there was not only, it was a little black boy too, but I haven't seen him come out yet, and I would like to see what his story was too, because he was, I believe, in that lawsuit with all of them other white boys. But I do feel like certain family members, they may have, like the white, you know, people who was cool with Michael Jackson, they may have just been, like, starstruck, and they may have just been, like, you know, cool and good to go, and yes, you can take my son, and, you know what I'm saying, they didn't think twice about it, whereas I feel like black people, because of all the things that we went through in the past, we're more reserved, like, okay, well, my son can be here, but, you know, motherfucker, I'm going to be asking questions still. So maybe things did not happen as bad as it could have been for the white people, because as far as white folks go, like, I feel like they was just like, oh, I'm starstruck, Michael Jackson's not going to do anything, I love him, he's inviting us into his home. And so that gave Michael Jackson, in my opinion, more of an opportunity to do what the hell he wants to do, especially after paying, you know, I feel like he paid bills and he was buying lavish gifts and shit like that. So I do think because, like I said, because the boys were white, that this is the reason why it's so exposed on TV. But a lot of people looked at Michael Jackson as white, too. You know, when you think about Michael Jackson, you don't think about the little black boy with the big nose and the afro. You think about the white dude with the long fucking Jerry curl and the moves, the dance moves, doing the moonwalk. Like when I think about Michael Jackson in a piece of a nose, you know, I don't think about Michael Jackson as a black guy. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my opinion on that.
Okay. I don't have a comment.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to go ahead and move on to our confession question of the day. Okay, guys. So our confession question of the day is going to strip clubs cheating? So, you know, you and your girl, you know, you and your man, you're all together, and you know what I'm saying, your spouse or your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, they go to strip clubs, you know. Is that cheating? And if it's not cheating, then what stipulations do you feel that is cheating? Jeanne, why don't you go ahead and answer that question for our audience?
I definitely don't feel like that's cheating. I have been to strip clubs without my spouse, and I didn't tell him. I regret not telling him now, you know, because it came out after, like, we've had our issues. So I think it was just, like, another element, like, added. Like, I feel like if I was honest, like, you know, we're going to go to the, me and my people, we're going to go to the strip club, and, you know what I'm saying, and then he may not have thought too much into it, but I think now because of coming out after, you know, we've had our issues in our relationship, that it's been like a bigger deal than, you know, what I think it should be. Obviously, you don't want your spouse going to a strip club, but I just feel like that's just a place where people go to turn up. You know, I know that me and my spouse, like, we're too jealous, so we probably couldn't go with each other. You know, I do wish that we had that relationship too. Maybe one day later on down the line we go together and, you know what I'm saying, turn up at the strip club and realize, have a good time, and it's okay if we look at whether it's girls or guys, and it's not like, but I feel like if we were to go together, I would just be looking at his face, seeing what he's looking at, and vice versa. Like, it just wouldn't be a good time. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely don't think that it's cheating. I think that as long as you're respectful, you know what I'm saying, and you're not smelling booty and then like that, then like, you're fine. But I definitely feel like, you know what I'm saying, if you just turning up and you looking, but you keep your distance, then, you know, I mean, you just got to get, like me, I mean, I would just have to get over my insecurities. Like, you know, if he wants to go to the strip club or whatever, I just have to trust the fact that he is not going to disrespect me, you know, in that way.
Yeah.
You know, just realize, just have fun. You know, because, like, even though we're guys.
So, is smacking ass being disrespectful?
Is smacking ass being disrespectful? It tells the line. Like, I wouldn't do that. But, like, you know, I don't think would that be a cause for, like, being like, nigga, you a cheater. Because at the end of the day, you have to look at it from, like, the stripper's perspective. They just there to get their money, guy or girl, like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, the couple times that I went to the strip club, the majority of guys in there were, like, real life straight, like, we're straight men, you know, so it wasn't like, even if I wanted to, nothing would have, you know what I'm saying, went down.
Yeah.
And I hear all the time how, like, because I follow, like, strippers on YouTube, or like female strippers on YouTube that talk about, like, their personal life, that they dance in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? But they just seem like they're just really interesting. They just talk about, like, different things, and they say, like, they are always turned off in the club, like, always. Because it's like, you see, they say the strippers look at sexuality differently. Like, certain stuff is not sexy to them. Like, it could be a fine ass nigga, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of money, but they thinking, like, I'm just trying to get the check. They not thinking about nothing else, because, you know what I'm saying, in that environment, you looking like a horn dog, your dick hard as fuck, like, you know what I'm saying, like, it's not, they not turned on by that shit. They just trying to see what, like, what can I do, what can I say to get all the money up out of them. But it's like our insecurity. Don't get me wrong, it goes down. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I have not seen it personally, whether somebody's in the fucking club, but I'm sure if you got enough money, somebody in that club would be going and down for whatever. But you just have to trust your spouse to, you know what I'm saying, know that they wouldn't do no crazy shit like that. But at the same time, they do talk about, as far as like with bachelor parties and stuff like that, they say a lot of times, like them grooms and shit like that, be fucking like that. Like that's what, like from what I've heard on YouTube and podcasts and stuff like that, with, you know, different girls that used to dance and, you know, and shit like that. They said that, like, when it comes to, like, where it's real life, a bachelor party, a bachelorette party, like, they be going on their night before marriage. But I'm just like, damn, why would you have to have sex the next day with your spouse? Like, that's, like, nasty. You know what I'm saying?
You feel like, nasty?
I'm
yeah.
just thinking, like, that's how
like,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like this a lot, that's definitely something that people do, because once you say, I do, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you're bound into
you're bound by a contract, and they're probably looking like, this is the last time I would honestly feel a little bit comfortable with doing anything that's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, I can't see it, but I guess in some weird way, that's maybe like somebody's logic behind that. But no, but they do say that people a lot of the time cheat on their during their bachelorette party, bachelorette party. That's scary to me. You know what I'm saying? That is scary to me. But I just gotta trust that mine won't. I just gotta trust and pray to her.
You right, and he got to trust that your ass won, because you know you wild. No, I was just lying.
Nigga, I ain't no wild.
Just kidding.
I'm a throw it out, but that's it. That's it, child. I'm going to be all on that. Like, yeah, no. Because we have, me, I have went to a strip club with Marcus in Atlanta. And, like, I admit the guys were, like, beautiful. Like, they were, like looked like models. You know what I'm saying? But he said, like, one of them, well, no, not, like, he didn't, I saw it. Like, one of them, like, he got really close, and they, like, smacked him in the face with their thing. And he was like, uh-uh. and then he said the guy was musty. I was just like, see, uh-uh. Hell no.
Musty?
Hell no.
Ugh.
Yes.
Thank you,
yes.
Ass.
Right.
Funky ass.
Right. Mm-mm. Well, I mean, what?
So he just
smacked
him in the face, just put his dick out, and just
slapped
him in the face with it.
I mean, he was just like hit him with his dick,
because
he was like African, so I mean, it was huge, but you know.
But he's so funny. Yeah. Well, okay,
but,
my thing,
what
is going to strip clubs cheating? It's going to strip clubs cheating. My opinion is, it's cheating if you don't let your spouse know what's going on. So, like, how you just said how you did not tell, you know, your spouse that you were going to a strip club. I wouldn't be mad as fuck. I'd be like, okay, because before, you know, you let me know you're going to a strip club, you know, I have a whole lot of questions for you. First of all, how much money are you taking? You know, second of all, if you're taking more than $30, I was like, how many bitches you planning on tipping, okay? You know, I got a whole lot of questions for you. Second of all, what the fuck is the goddamn occasion where you feel like you need to go to a goddamn strip club? I can just shake that ass right here for you if that's the case. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that will be me right there. That would be me right there, you know? But if my husband, he's just like, oh, I'm going to a strip club, like, I will ask a whole bunch of questions, and I'd be like, okay, have fun, because I'm about to get ready and go and do something else. You know, or I might just be like, I don't really know how I feel about that, because you never been to a strip club before. So besides the one time we went together, so I don't understand why you would be just randomly going to a strip club.
Like being I don't mean to cut you off, Angel, but it's like being realistic, like with Chris. If he was up and being like, yeah, I'm about to go to a strip club, we about to go see some male strippers with the girls. Like, I have to be honest, like, yeah, like, he finds me attractive, like, yeah, we have amazing sex, sure, like, I'm not his type, he likes light-skinned niggas, so I'm sure he probably would want to go and enjoy just looking, but not touching, you know what I'm saying, somebody who may physically be, like, his type, like, you know what I'm saying, And I would just have to get over my insecurities and trust the fact that he is being respectful. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, I agree. I was wrong for not letting him know that. But you cannot get upset if he was just like, if your husband was just like, yes, I mean, if those, we're going to go to a strip
club.
You
got me fucked up. Yes,
like
I
first,
can't get upset.
Even if it was the first time that he's ever said that, the fact that he told you that, like, you know what I'm saying?
And that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he told me, like, okay, I'm like, babe, I just want to let you know, me and my homies, we going to the strip club. I would just be like, okay, well, what's the occasion? Like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, well, how much money are you taking? Because your money is my money. This is our money. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, you got to take some money with you. Oh, you taking $50? How many bitches you plan on tipping? Because I think one bitch deserves $5. You know what I'm saying? So, like, nah, we ain't rich over in this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I would just ask a bunch of questions, and then I'd be like, okay, well, go have fun. Woo, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? But I would, at the end of the night when he come home, it's not like you're not going to have sex with me because are you thinking about fucking big booty bitches from being at the strip club? Honestly, that's my thought. You know, so that's just one thing. Another thing is, like you said, I'm not mature enough to go to a strip club with my husband. Now, my husband, he went to a strip club with his guys. Then I went to a strip club with my girls. Even if it is an all-woman strip club, that would be a whole entire different situation. Me, like you said, I would literally, and it's so funny because me and my husband, we actually had a conversation about this. I would literally be looking at my husband the whole time like, is he looking at her fat? Her
yeah.
Back, how fat
it's
her
same,
ass is because
same.
Her
I,
ass
I,
is
I
fat,
even,
nigga.
I wouldn't even have fun. I wouldn't have fun because, for one, I know, like, my
right,
fiance
be looking
is
at
fine.
Him.
Right. So I know my fiance is fine, for one, so I'm just like, oh, you real life enjoy. Like, if he was to get a lap dance or something, I'd be looking at the ship like, oh, you real life enjoying giving this nigga a lap dance, huh? No, back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but honestly, I think that it's dope, like, when couples can go to ship club together and, like, the guy will buy like his girl lap dance or vice versa, and it will like be they trust each other and they just really like having a good time. You know what I'm saying? Trying to spice it up. You know what I'm saying? And
no.
They get back to the crib, but she's trying to do the dance moves one of the girls was doing. Like, I think because there are couples like that are secure in their relationship. Like, I have friends like that that would go to strip club with their spouse. But me personally, I'm just not at that level yet where I know that I would be 100% okay with, you know what I'm saying?
But this
if
is the thing.
To go up and tip somebody,
like,
somebody smack him in the face with a big dick, I'll be ready to fight. I would be ready to fight. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And it's not, I feel like everything should be tried. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I have not went to a strip club with my husband before. You know, I have gone to a strip club with him before. And that's how I know that that's not a situation that I want to be in. You know, before we got married, before we even had kids, our oldest son is about to be 7. You know, we had went to a strip club out in Vegas. And it was not a good situation. First of all, I did not even know it was a fucking strip club that we went in. When we went to the strip club, the bitch was weak as fuck. And then by the end of the night, we was just arguing. And it just was not a good time. And ultimately, we were arguing because he was staring at the naked bitch that was on the stage. So, like, which is the type of shit that you're supposed to do at a strip club. So I felt like, okay, well, you know, even though I was, in a different stay in my life at that time, you know, I was in a different, you know, stage and all of this. I just feel like even now, like if we were to go to a strip club, I wouldn't mind going to a strip club, but I would not want to go with my husband because, like you said, I'm just sitting up there, I'm staring at him like, okay, yeah, her booty fat as a bitch, but like, I'm not having a good time. But if I was to go with a bunch of my girls, my homies, you know what I'm saying? If I was to go with you and a bunch of my female friends, like, I'd be like,
right.
Yeah, turn up, I'd be slapping bitches all up on their ass and getting lapped dancing
right.
And all of that shit, but I don't
like
need my husband
to
see, you know what I'm saying?
And you would probably look at a motherfucker and know they fine as fuck. Like, and you be wanting to look at her, but you like, uh-uh, this nigga looking at this same fine ass? Hell,
exactly, you
that.
You got it. You know what I'm saying? So, that's a different situation, like, you know what I'm saying? And I would also, like, if I was to go, like, I wouldn't mind my husband, he going to the strip club and having a good time, you know what I'm saying, having fun, but I don't want to be there. Because I don't want, you know what I'm saying, to see any of that shit. I don't want to see you putting a fucking $10 bill in a bitch thong, you know what I'm saying? Like, that shit gonna make me mad as a bitch, and I'm gonna keep bringing that shit up for 20 years to come. Like, yeah, but remember that one time you put that $10 bill in that bitch thong? Nigga, if we was going grocery shopping, I need that $10 now, you know? Like, just being stupid and ignorant,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the type of shit that I don't want to do, and that's why I would not go to a strip club with him, but I will go to a strip club, and I don't mind if he went to a strip club, long as that communication is 100% open. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's not, then, you know, somebody getting fired in their face, because I don't want to find out no shit after the fact. Let me know right away so I ain't got to hear that shit from nobody else. And that's my whole entire thing. I don't like hearing shit from other people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't like being lied to. I don't like hearing shit from other people. That's it. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I got to say about that. But I feel like, and the conversation pretty much came up, Joe, because we all were talking about, you know, Vegas and what we're going to do in Vegas, clubbing. You know what I'm saying? Possibly going to strip clubs, whatever the case may be. And it's just like, I know you wanted to possibly go to a strip club, but it's like, nigga, I'm not going to go to a strip club, you know what I'm saying, with Jun if Sam is there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll go to a strip club with my sister, you know what I'm saying, and Jun, but not Sam. You know what I'm saying? I just can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, honestly, I feel like ultimately we're going to all have a good time, but it's just things that I'm just not comfortable with. And I don't think that going to a strip club is cheating once you have that open communication. But I'm not going with my husband, period. I'm not mature enough, and I will slap a bitch in their mouth. So that's it.
Okay.
So that's it, y'all. That's it. So, Jim, I'm going to ask you, do you have anything that you would like to confess your love to?
Yes. So, actually, right before we got on air, I was watching – and just in general, like, I like that, I mean, it took forever, but, you know, these syndicated platforms like MTV, Viacom, different television shows, they are taking the initiative to put online content out on YouTube and stuff like that. I feel like it's unnecessary because people are getting away from, you know, the regular cable television. Like, if we're watching a show, it's usually on a streaming service, or we're going on YouTube to watch the shit. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much it. I don't have cable. I don't miss cable. I'll never fucking have cable again. If there's something I want to see that is a cable series, all you got to do is just Google the shit and find out what channel it's on, download the channel app, or wait for that shit to be on Netflix or Prime Video, and that be it. But, so it was this show, or like this segment called Light Skin Privilege, and it's funny because on MTV, and it was this journalist, she was talking about the privileges of being a light-skinned black person a lot of times that they don't realize, you know what I'm saying, and how they can be more like palatable to mainstream audiences, and that's the reason why, you know, we've seen Beyonce and Rihanna and Nicki Minaj thrive, even though there have been, you know, at one point equally as talented counterparts, you know, of a darker skin tone. But it was just funny because I talk to Chris about it all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying, my fiance, because he is white skin. And, you know, but we have those honest conversations about, you know, colorism and stuff like that. And I just appreciate that he is just like, Chris has never been that way. Like, you know, I mean, he does like light skin dudes, that's his type, you know what I'm saying? But clearly he's with me, so, you know. But he's never been like I'm light skin, so I'm better type of nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like how we think a lot of lighter skinned people can be, or he's not like conceited or stuck up or no shit like that. But it was just really interesting, like how they were like breaking down, like how even though black people I do get arrested at higher rates, even in that, like they were saying, like how light skinned people get lesser jail sentences and different stuff like that. But it's really good to check it out. It's called Light Skin Privileges, but it was a segment, part of Decoded on MTV. But yeah, I thought it was really dope. But are you confessing your love for anything?
Okay. I'm not really confessing my love for anything, but I do have a statement. And that statement is, honestly, like, I feel like people, there are a lot of times where people, they get misunderstandings or things that they think were misunderstandings fucked up, and then they actually have that conversation, and things get talked out. And then ultimately you just realize that everything was just so stupid and you just don't understand why, you know, things were misunderstood in the first place. So my comment is just talk to people. You know, if you have an issue or there's something that just don't seem right or you're just not feeling a relationship or, you know, you're not feeling the situation with your spouse, talk about it, because holding those feelings in, being aggressive, being, you know, passive, that shit can ultimately hurt you in the end. So if you sit up there and you have those conversations and you talk it out, you have open communication, I definitely feel like things will be much better in your relationship, friendship, just any type of shit, you know, family, everything. And I really feel like people, they need to take advantage of just opening up their mind and being open to having those conversations, because it can really change how you feel about people and really make things more positive versus just sitting up there dwelling on the past and just being extremely negative. So that's just what I have to say. Just talk to people. If you have an issue with them, talk it out. If you don't like something that somebody did to you, talk it out. You know what I'm saying? Because things can be a total misunderstanding. And a lot of times, even personally with me, I know that when I have a misunderstanding or I think that something has been misunderstood, I just completely shut down and I don't want to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to life slowly but surely disappear. And, you know, also and instead of disappearing, that conversation could have been had. You know what I'm saying? And this whole shit could have been resolved a long time ago. Or instead of getting mad, like, you know, even with my husband, sort of getting mad at him, you know, like, you know, and asking him, like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? I could have been, like, you know, acting all pissy in the past or whatever like that, or pissy, you know what I'm saying, as far as what I thought happened or what I thought was said. But then, you know, I asked those questions, and I'm like, oh, like, damn, I was going to be mad for the whole rest of the goddamn evening. I'm glad I opened up my big-ass mouth, because I talk a whole lot, and I asked him this question, and he confirmed this situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, in any situation. So just talk it out, you know what I'm saying? Because talking it out could really debt a whole lot of shit that you didn't even realize were an issue. And even if it was an issue, it can resolve those issues. Talk it out, y'all. Talk it out. All right, guys. That is the end of the show this evening, everybody. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to us this week. You all can expect to listen to us on a Sunday at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, and we want to hear from you. So don't forget to like, comment, rate, subscribe, tag us in the drama, and send us those confessions at confession2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Bandrina.
And I'm your host, Jono Fellow, and you're listening to the one and the only Confession.
Hey, 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 hey. Good night, Monkey.